want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to you, and welcome to the Monday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. If you've just joined us, welcome to the show. It is, of course, the time for us to get into a really, really important topic. And if you are joining us for the first time, well, let me give you first the number that you can use to talk to us right here on the show. It is +27734703520. But after giving you that number, I must ask you a very, very important question. Where were you? What were you listening to? Because you should be here, right? But welcome to the show. It is the second and final hour of the show. Every Monday, we do this thing called personal finance. And today, we're talking about a topic that I think if I knew about it like a couple of years ago and maybe got these insights, I think maybe me and a lot of other people as well would have made a few different decisions. If you're wondering what that is, well, we're talking about the tips for first-time home buyers. Guys, if we knew, we would have done the things that we do. And I speak to a lot of people, by the way, within this topic, who will tell you that if I knew, so here we are as Business Sense giving you those tips on if I knew, right? So becoming a homeowner is a major milestone in anyone's life. It represents an important step in creating a secure financial future. It's one of the biggest financial investments that you'll actually ever make, which means it can also be overwhelming at times. So Deslandi Fernando will be sharing some tips that will be useful to aspiring homeowners, those going for the first time, particularly if you're, of course, going into it with a little bit of no experience at all into this thing. So he will help us understand this, particularly in the real estate game. That's, of course, where he comes from. And he's joining us this evening, and he will be giving us a little bit of tips. +27734703520. That is the number that you can use. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Tapelo. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And how was your day?
It was good. It was relaxed today. But yeah, just getting up for the week.
Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. But thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. First-time home buyers. Before we even get into the nick of things, it is a nerve-wracking thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
What makes it nerve-wracking, Deslandi? I think maybe you know it much better than most of us. Is it lack of information, or is too much excitement, or just the thought of having your own house can be rather, I suppose, can make us think things differently, but it's always this nerve-wracking process.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. First is excitement, and the second time, a little bit of what could possibly go wrong, and so those two often blare us to make the correct decision.
Yeah. Okay. I really have a few questions around, you know, when you go back to the year 2020, right, with the height of COVID and all that, with a lot of people losing their jobs and some having their salaries cut. And we saw quite a lot of interest rates being brought down, and that culminated into a lot of people buying houses because the interest rates were down. It's 2024 now. It seems like, that is deja vu because those houses are now expensive that you bought back then. But I want to get into that, right? So you said it's excitement, that really is maybe driving us, and a little bit of fear, a little bit in there. But what are some of the critical questions then that first-time home buyers actually need to be asking?
There are very few important questions that every first-time buyer should be focused on. Mm. And one of them, foremost, is obviously they have to do a pre-assessment first on their side to see what they could qualify for and what they could afford, and look thoroughly in their budget. That's the first mistake that I've seen overall, that people don't do assessment into what actually can I afford and can I live comfortably, But overall, they have to ask, for example, market valuation. And my few years of experience, I've noticed that very few people actually care to ask how much is the property valued for, or currently what is the market price of this property. So often and not, we see the price of the property being 1 million and we believe that that's the price that is selling in that particular area or the price, without us even asking what is the market value in the area.
Yeah.
What on here, are there any facilities nearby? You know, you also obviously check if the municipality is functioning or so on. You know, all those things will affect in the long run in terms of the cost of ownership of that property. So market valuation is key. It's very important because it also helps you to make a decision in terms of what to offer in that particular property. For example, there's a market trend that we need to understand, that a property on the area that sells at most 1 million, no matter even if the house is made out of gold, it will never sell more than that. So you can get a property, beautiful, in the area that only sell at most for 1 million, and the seller be asking for 1.5. And if you don't know it, because you love the house and you're excited and it meets all your facilities that you want, you buy the property for 1.5 million.
Yeah.
Only to find out later on that you cannot sell it because you are now, it's an overpriced property. So now you have to wait and hope that the market price catch up with you sometime in a few years, which may not happen.
Yeah.
Depending on how things also get to develop.
Yeah. So as people who are in this game, is it not perhaps your responsibility? And I'm just asking as a novice, is it not your responsibility then to say, no, but this, or it depends on which side, whether you're supporting the seller or the buyer?
No, well, as an estate agent, it is my obligation and I should be act correctly by providing such tools to my client to help them to make informed decisions. But we cannot use that as a measure to all other agents, because we know that, to be like any other industry, there are those who will not abide by the conduct.
Yeah.
They will do what they please. And some are just often looking into closing a deal as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we'll fall upon the client to make all the diligence and make sure that he gets the value that he's looking for.
Yeah.
So ask that, and if you can't get that, obviously it's the first red flag that you're not dealing with the honest and a prudent agent.
Yes, that's lovely. Okay, going back to these two things that you mentioned, market evaluation, so the value of the house as well as what you can afford. I want to start there. How far can you go in determining how much you can afford? Is there a formula of some sort that takes into account perhaps changes in the economy or whatever? And I'm just referring, like I said earlier on when we started, to the fact that 2020, we saw quite a lot of people into 2021 as well buying property because interest rates were down. It seemed like it was a buyer's market or something like that, but it really seems like now it's not anywhere close to that. A lot of people are struggling to sell, but also even to upkeep their houses. And many people are in areas. So how far do you go in determining how much you can afford?
Yes. Well, 2020 was one of the best years for those who were prepared financially and understood what they wanted. And because most of the people that understood, they still have their properties.
Mm.
And those who were just excited because the interest rate is down and they've not done their calculations, they found themselves have to sell or in a very, very tight financial situation. Yeah. Yes. So how far can you go? Well, there's a various method of how to check your affordability.
Okay.
And, on the surface, you can basically just say 30% of your total gross. That would be roughly your affordability. But that's not enough. You can also do a detailed affordability whereby you submit your 3 months bank statement, 3 months pay slips, and then we do that affordability on your behalf, or you can do directly from the bank. But then that is just affordability.
Mm.
But then you have to go back to other part, which is now looking at your budget to say, okay, fine, I'm getting a property that will cost me bond repayment of plus minus 10,000.
Yeah.
And remember, that's not the only cost that you have.
Yeah.
It's another mistake that first time buyers, they make, is that they only factor in the bond. That's it. Okay, the bond is 10,000 and that's it. But there's more to that, to the cost of ownership. There is rates and taxes, which is not there. And often not, clients also, they don't ask that. That's another thing that needs to be asked.
Yeah.
That is, if you're buying in a complex, there's levies there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's also a special levy,
yeah,
which you may be aware of.
Yeah.
So And then there's maintenance of the property itself, you know. So all that, those are the cost of ownership. So it's not enough to just knowing that, okay, the house is 1 million, it will cost me plus minus 11,000 to pay. Then, and you've done your calculation and you know that, okay, after all this, I'm going to left to 5,000. Only to find out once the property is registered, the maintenance alone and upkeep of the all expenses of the house is cost 15,000. Now you're left with 1,000 every month.
Yeah.
All because you didn't do that exercise. And another thing is people also need to do, before buying a property, an exercise of putting away that money that they're going to be paying so that they can actually see that. You can do that for 3 months. If you're going to buy a property that will cost you 10,000 every month plus the maintenance, do that exercise just to get yourself into that habit as well.
Sure. Yeah. So you mentioned levies there, right? I think it's become the biggest boogeyman of all people that actually buy into estates and all that. Because, I mean, let's be honest, we live in a country where crime is very high. And a lot of people are running away from standalone houses because although you might run away from levies, but the challenge is that with a standalone house, there's a very high chance that you might be broken into and end up paying more than the amount that you're going to pay in levies. But they've become the boogeyman, haven't they? We overlook such costs.
Yes, that's true. I've seen a terrible experience when it comes to levies that, you know, people, some they say, oh, I didn't know that I actually have to pay levies. I thought I just have to pay rates and taxes and that's it. Oh, I only thought that I had to pay only my bond. What is this for? What is it covers? You know, all that supposed to be known in advance.
Yeah.
That this is what it covers and that's just what it's going to be used for. Does my levy include insurance? Does what does it entail? All that information is needed. You know, you can never go wrong if you can get as much as information before making a decision. So that you, even if things goes wrong, you're okay to live with the consequences.
There's also costs, I suppose, associated with insuring that very property that you're buying. I know that a lot of banks would either say, okay, take it with us as we give you the bond, but some would say, well, you have the opportunity to choose whatever other insurer that you want. But that's also a cost that first-time home buyers should think about, eh?
Yes, there is an insurance that that you need to take. But in insurance, you are able to choose what you want, which insurance you want to use. And it's actually another thing that first-time buyers, they should also be aware and not to be forced into. You know, often than not, they will find themselves, the banks forcing them as if they have no choice but taking the insurance from the bank that granted them a bond, which is not true. You do have a choice to choose whichever insurance you want for your property and what is more affordable and giving you a very good premium.
Living in South Africa has become a little bit more expensive. And some of these things are things that we need. We all need houses, right? Because it's not feasible and financially sustainable, I suppose, to be renting forever and ever and ever, because you have a family, you've got kids, you know, one day you're going to die. You don't want them to be evicted out, right? So you want to have this asset that you can live with them. But that asset requires levies, requires bond, requires insurance, requires rates and taxes. It's never, ever ending. And so it leads me to then my next question, which says, are there any special benefits, I suppose, for first-time home buyers, particularly if you look at South Africa?
Yes. There is some good benefits, especially for young people. I cannot emphasize that enough, that young people have a huge advantage here in South Africa with so many opportunities. And one of them, which is very common, but I find surprising that some people still don't know it, is flips, which now has been changed to first home owners buyers.
Okay.
So it's very important that now also the government has amended that we can use flips for not only for deposit and towards the bond, but you can also use it as for legal costs, which is something that troubles a lot of people. You know, you can also use it as a deposit, as a towards the bond, as a legal cost, and as well even if you're building as well. So, and it works quite simple. You just need to have a dependent, financial dependent.
Okay.
You need to be earning below, I think now is about 22,000 as a household. And that's it. And then you qualify. Obviously, the lower the amount that you earn, the higher that you qualify for. But it's important to make use of that avenue, because you can only use it once when you buy your first property, or at least when your salary is still below 2,000 rand. And I usually tell my friends to say that, look, when you get your first internship, you know, where you're getting paid about 7,000 to 10,000, that's just the time that actually you can use flips. Go get yourself a small house, a RDP, doesn't matter what, there's a government money, make use of that, get into the property game, the earlier the better. This is how things are. Recently, I actually just to maybe to add, recently I sold the RDP to a friend of mine. She $80,000 from flips, and the bank granted another $100,000.
Sure.
So looking at that, the RDP cost about $150K.
Yeah.
But clearly, a bond is only plus minus $80,000 that you have to pay it back. And we're looking at that is less than 1,000 rand. And now her salary just got increased. But had she not taken advantage of that opportunity, she would have never, ever got a chance again to use flips.
Okay. And then does it have like a cap in terms of the house, where you can buy the house and for how much the house might be selling for? Or it's just free for all as long as you are under 22,000 and have a dependent?
No, there's no cap, but obviously the cap will be based on your affordability, because it's not possible that you earn about 21,000 and you can afford a house of 1 million or so. You've been affording a house of plus minus 500,000, 600,000.
Okay.
And then with flips coming in with 40,000 or 30,000, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot, because many people don't even save for legal costs, and they find themselves, you know, not knowing what to do. So flips is there to really, you know, pushing people to say, look, you can own a property as a first-time buyer. You don't have to stress about legal costs. The problem is that people don't have, it's not that they don't have access to information, but people don't do enough research, and people don't ask enough questions so that they can get clarity on things that they actually need before they can make any decisions.
I think we just need to learn as much as we possibly can, and engage people like yourselves as well, who are honest enough at least to take us in the right direction, because it really is information that I think is out there. But for some or other reason, we don't know about it, and we need to you know, get people like yourself. So, the SA Home Loans website, by the way, Deslandi, kind of advises buyers to ask why the owners are selling and how long they've lived there, as well as to ask what the neighbors are like. Why does that matter?
For various reasons. Number one, it depends what you're buying it for, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're buying for a family,
you
do mind and you do care about the type of neighbors that you have.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you are looking at bringing up your children there, and you want a conducive environment for them. So it's important to see if there's, if you, for example, imagine yourself buying a property for a family, but on a student area. So that alone can be a problem, you know, and you didn't know. No one disclosed that to you.
Yeah.
So now comes a normal weekend where you're there with the family. The next thing, loud music everywhere.
Yeah.
All because you didn't know what is the characteristic of the area. Number two, obviously, is that the condition overall of the property is very important.
Yes.
You know, that's why you say, like, how long, you know, you don't want to buy a property that is also very old, you know, so that you don't soon be having structural issues and so on and so forth, and give you a lot of headache in terms of maintenance. So all this really matters in terms of asking. As to why are they selling, you're hardly going to get an honest question of why they're selling.
Sure.
You know, the common ones that you're going to get is relocating and so on. Yes, but for me, the neighborhood is important. Sometimes you don't even have to ask. You yourself drive in the area. You can drive in the morning and drive in the evening just to see how's the neighborhood.
Sure. I think with the rate at which most of us don't qualify for these houses, right? We often put up these applications with quote-unquote faith, you know, and hope and all that. And once it gets approved, we don't even think about driving around, checking the area. I'm just happy for Deslandi that I just got approved, though.
Yeah, that's true. And this is what I'm saying. This is what many people do when we buy in a property. We sort of want to think that is a gamble where you take a chance and say maybe some people may have debts and somehow say, okay, maybe the bank will overlook this and this, then I can get a house and then I get to move on. But if you have been preparing yourself for these steps, then you know that there's no reason for you to rush and all that. In fact, often than not, you will have done all this and you're actually just looking for an estate agent to close the deal. And sometimes you even have the house already to say, I'm looking for 1, 2, 3 houses. I already have seen them, but obviously I'm not going to close a deal privately. I need someone who's been on the field, someone who's understand. Just get me that house and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you make the more information you have, the more clear you are on your choices, the easier you make the work of the estate agent as well.
Yeah. And I just want to ask this one, particularly, you know, for first time home buyers who are buying into a development or so called development, new development, whatever. Is it really true that there aren't lawyer fees for new developments?
Yes. Well, this is one of the catch that they use all the time.
Exactly.
But yes, so you will hear a lot, there is no transfer fee. Mm. Yeah, but there's still a cost. It's just that most of them are already included on the purchasing itself. Okay. Yes, but obviously, like any market, you say there's no transfer cost, but there is another cost for sort of transfer the property, yes.
Hey, these scalems, man. Hey. Yeah, because that's how they catch us, right?
It's a marketing thing.
Exactly. That's exactly how they catch us. I'm saying they are not scalems, but okay. That's definitely how they catch us. Okay, then as we draw to a close, is it better to continue with all of that information that we've just shared now? Is it better to continue renting or buy? It's better to buy.
Well, ownership is always better.
Okay.
It's always good to own.
Yeah.
And but there are a few things that you need to consider whether you're gonna rent or you buy. You know, one of them is, are you gonna stay in the area longer than 5 years?
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
What type of job do you have? Are you traveling a lot or not? So that can help you to consider, especially when, let's say, you are from KZN and then you have moved to Gauteng and you need to consider, okay, will I live here more than 5 years?
Yeah.
Will I live so that you can, you know. But either way, if you end up buying, you can always, that gives you perspective, actually, how you're going to buy. Are you going to buy for investment or so? So you can buy knowing that, okay, in 5 years, I'm relocating, this will be for investment. Or I'm buying because it's going to be later on, it's going to be for my family.
Yeah.
So overall, I would say ownership. And there's no, at the moment, there's no better country than South Africa that pushes ownership so much by creating avenues that makes people to access funds to fund their dreams, you know.
No, certainly. I think South Africa is perhaps one of the best property market in terms of even just how the properties look themselves. And I think that's why you find that there's quite a lot of, you know, international investors that actually buy houses in South Africa. Because, I mean, on the balance of scale, I think we do have some really great houses in the property space. And it makes sense to do that and kind of buy. Now, here's my other question that I have before we close again is, if you look at for example, your municipal rates, they are based, I understand, and you'll correct me, but they are based on the value of the house, right? And with them, the value of the house almost goes up every year, right?
Yes.
But when you try and sell this house, something is not balancing there. Is it because the property market is tough?
Well, we need to understand that real estate, like any other market, is not a straight line up. You know, uprising.
Meaning
it's not saying that you bought a property for 500,000 to next year is 520 and 450. It does grow, but does not grow on a straight line.
Yeah.
No? It grows just like any market. So it could be a year where goes to 550, then the following year goes to 520, but still growing. So that's and that there's a, because there's a number of factors that affect the value of the property itself.
Okay.
You know, like one of them is, I'll say, for example, the economy itself, right?
Yeah.
How are things going? Looking at, for example, 2020, the interest rate was low and there was a huge demand. Everybody wanted to buy, you know, and it was a seller's market, and you know, the stock were limited and a lot of buyers, so buyers would compete and so on. But now we are moving to a different segment where there are plenty of property and there are really no buyers, you know. So obviously there the price also goes low. And then we also have to look at how the municipality is actually performing in terms of, you know, that is why we have different areas within the same municipality. There's areas where it's far better to buy there because the municipality has a delivery of services, there's water, there's roads being fixed and so on. Then there's another area that such things are not happening. So all that affects in terms of value. So that is why on real estate would go down to say that location is everything. You know, location is the paramount, what should determine you to where to invest, because you can always fix a house that is, you know, that is not properly you know, developed and so on, but you cannot move a house that is bought in the wrong place. You can't move it. And you will suffer the consequences of those choices.
Location, that's what it comes down to. Closing costs, down payments, mortgages. What do these terms mean? They can be quite intimidating, I suppose.
Yeah, the mortgage, we're looking at what basically one pays, you know, on a monthly. And the closing costs, we're looking at also your legal costs. We're looking at some of the costs in like initial payment that you have to make to the banks. And yeah, that's not some of the things that are usually often explained to you once you have got your grant.
Yeah.
That deals what you'll be paying monthly. This is what your insurance will look like.
Yeah.
This is what the initial bond fee, for example, you know, so that you are away. It's just, it's a bit sad that people, we all get excited and it's normal to be excited. And we often don't get those information clear with a sound mind, you know.
I mean, like I said, it's very exciting. This is the perhaps for some, or at least the majority of the people, first time buying their house. There's an element of feeling like, you know, I'm going the right direction in life. You know, I'm building up assets. If maybe you qualified for a house that you, I don't know if you have experienced the same thing, Mr. Fernando, but I find that with ladies, they want to feel the house before they buy it, you know. And I come in and fill their house. So immediately when they're approved, it's that feeling almost comes back to say, oh my, I got the house that I've always wanted. From the moment I walked into this house, I knew that this is the house. So at the moment they say approved, no one is thinking about levies. No one is thinking about insurance and all these things.
Once one is excited, it's very difficult to bring to, especially also when they never expected. That's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, the people who be trying to buy a house with a terrible credit score and terrible financial conduct, and somehow they get approved.
Yeah.
You know, that's just even for them is it's more like a miracle. All other thing gets to be ignored. So but there are those that obviously is the first time. But once you have bought your first, and your second, you know, and so it's important that you first do your own research.
Yeah.
And number two, that you also vent properly the agent that you're going to work with. You know.
Yeah, very important. Very.
So
important.
That you two can form a team, and then he makes sure that he represents both parties, both the seller and the buyer.
Fantastic. Any last final thoughts as we close in on this one? And maybe how can people get a hold of you if they want to use your services?
If anyone want to use my services, they can phone me on 074-600-1884.
Fantastic.
24/7 except from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday.
Definitely. That's the Sabbath.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Sammy. You have a beautiful, beautiful week going forward. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. There you go. That is Mr. Fernando there telling us a little bit about what to look out for if you're buying property for the first time. It can be an exciting moment, but also a nerve-wracking moment, particularly if you are not sure of the process. And I think banks and all these other people in this space need to do a little bit of consumer education, right? And I can tell you now, you might even think that people who are in the finance space, you know these things, but no, they also just skill on it, you know. So I do think that there is some level of education that is required so that we know, especially know, what we are getting ourselves into. This is going to be 20 years at least of your life in this thing. So you really want to understand what it is. So like he said there, just to sum it up there, know what you can afford. Very, very important. From the very onset, know what you can afford. Understand what your budget looks like. Ask questions, particularly questions around, you know, market evaluation or the market value of the house that you want to buy. Don't just buy, Angie. Understand what is the value. Yeah? Understand how liquid that particular area is in terms of selling. Because if things go south for some or other reason, because they normally do, then you've got this debt that you're sitting with. That might be a little bit difficult for you to do it, to actually clear this. So understand. Take advantage of what's out there from government. There's FLISP, right? There's FLISP that is available for those of you who are earning about 22,000. You guys earn a lot of money. Anyways, but if you earn about 22,000 rents or less and you've got a dependent there, then you can go to FLISP as well. That's another avenue that's available. It can pay your bond fees. You know, it can also help you put together a deposit for the house that you want. And so really government is going out of their way to make this a little bit easier. So there you go. Thank you so much to Mr. Fernando there, who was helping us understand that one. Like to hear from you. What was your first property buying experience like? Was it tough? Was it easy? Like to hear from you. +27 7347 0352 0. That is +27 7347 0352 0.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 7347 0352 0. Or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.